Last week we talked about the importance of the Jewish home. There's no way to overstate how important the Torah takes the Jewish home. That's like clear, that's the construction piece. You know, if you're playing Legos, there's like the ones that are this long, and then the smallest atomic piece of the Jewish nation is a home. That's where everything gets built, right? And so then we looked at we took like a beginning of a look at, therefore, the purpose of setting up a home. So we saw in Parshas Tetzaveh that the care in the Beis HaMikdash, specifically of the lights, right, of preparing the lights of the menorah, is also a lesson of preparing the lights in people's minds that would be in the home. So the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash is preparing the ground to help illuminate somebody's mind, but they're going to have to do it themselves. That's from this we're meant to learn about lighting the minds of the people in our homes that we care for. And there's all different halachos, and Chazal saw this, and there's different halachos that come out because that's the way that it has to be, including that the way to light the menorah is to hold the lighting wick next to the wick that you're lighting, not just until it catches fire, but you keep holding it until it can burn on its own, right? Until it can draw the fuel up on its own to keep on burning. And that's really the role of the teacher, whether it's a parent or a Rebbe or a Mora. The role of teaching is to provide the light until you reach the goal. And the goal is not that you provided the light. The goal is that they can, laha'alos ner tamid, they could raise their own light. Then you know you've done the job. And the way that Rav Hirsch put it was a little bit on the negative. It's to make, the goal is to make yourself obsolete. The goal is to make yourself, the word that they used in the original translation was superfluous. How do you know when you are successful in teaching somebody when they can do it on their own? Well, when they can do it on their own, do they need a teacher to show them how to do it? No. Now they can do it on their own. That's success. A parent feels more successful when the child is able to dress themselves, feed themselves, earn their own money, and run their own household than when they're still living in the home with the parent, right? The goal is to raise them to have their own household, not to have to stay in yours. Even though maybe for some reason, like with us, we live in my parents' house right now. Maybe that's a good situation at the time. But the goal is that you could run your own house. You could manage your own house. That's how you know it's successful. And we said there was a first definition of chinuch, and that's where we're going to be moving now, is in that definition of chinuch, and specifically the place of chinuch in the home. We saw, and I'm paraphrasing in that, I'm taking the middle, not changing the words, but just taking a chunk of a sentence. This was in the section on Kiddushin and Nisuin. The founding of a home is the highest task of life because the welfare of people and of humanity flowers only in and through the home. And it is there that the younger generation is brought up for God. And because there is the temple, because there is the temple where the fear and love of God and trust of God are planted and cultivated and realized in actual life. He says in other places, Rav Hirsch, the school could teach you about chesed, but in the home is where you learn how to translate that into actual life. That's what the home is, not just where you hang your hat and put your feet up. The home is actually where you do your learning. Right? How many times have we seen Rav Hirsch say that it's all about getting it into the hands, from the head to the heart to the hands, right? Whatever you learn, until you've put it into action, you haven't completed it. And where do you learn how to put what you've learned into action? That's in the home. So the home is not small. The home is what everything is built on. Everything is relying on the home. Okay. So that's the Chazar. Now you noticed that Rav Hirsch, because he does this, right? He said he described people like individuals and people as a group, meaning humanity, flowering in the home. And you know, he chooses his metaphors, right? We had the lightning bolt, and then we saw how that was like such a significant metaphor. He's not Rashi. We don't parse or rehearse quite that way. But the metaphor actually typically is not random. It's not just, oh, that's nice. It's usually based on something, but it also sounds nice, and you can learn from it the more you're willing to explore that metaphor. The people flower in the home. And he also compared it to a temple. He said the home is the temple. I don't even think that that's a metaphor. I think he means that's the temple. That is the Beis HaMikdash, where Yirah Shamayim, Avas Hashem, and Emuna are planted, cultivated, and realized. Again, with the flowering, with the planting, it's the agricultural description of Chinuch. What happens to people in the home? What happens in the home is a kind of planting. It's the same kind of process as planting seeds, watering, tending, plowing, furrowing, right? Pruning, so that something can grow. That's really what you're doing when you do it in a home. So there's a few things about that. I'm just going to throw out a couple, but this, when I'm throwing them out, it's just kind of casual, you know? Like, planting, growing things doesn't happen overnight. It's a process that takes time. You don't do it once, one and you're done. No, that's not education. In fact, this is just a useful thing to know. If you're having an issue with a child, and you have a solution where if you do it, the child will comply immediately, that's compliance and that's discipline, that's not chinuch. If it's a one-off, probably it's not chinuch. That doesn't mean it's bad. Sometimes you actually need to teach someone to have discipline, or they need to comply right away because there's a truck coming down the street. You don't have time for chinuch when the kid's in the driveway.
What would you be teaching chinuch that would take such a, like, not a long time.
What would take a longer time? To teach a child not to walk into a driveway and how to look both ways before they go into the street and to know when it's safe to cross on their own, when they need to have an adult with them.
And discipline.
Discipline is don't go into the street unless I tell you to go into the street. Get back up here now.
Right away.
Yeah, and this is not necessarily bad, but it's not chinuch. He's talking about chinuch. And chinuch is like growing something. It doesn't happen like that in a one shot. If it does, probably that wasn't chinuch, that was discipline, which has its place as well.
So interesting, because for discipline, you need the person there to tell them what to do. For the chinuch, you're teaching them how to cross the
street. That's right, because really, the farmer does not make the wheat sprout. Right? Doesn't get the tree to grow. All you can do is prepare the ground, put the right environment, make sure they have the water and the sunshine, right? And the temperature that they need. But you can't actually cause the growing. So that's another distinction. Chinuch is not just that it takes more time, it's that they're going to do it on their own. That's the candle being able to draw up its own sustenance from the wax or the oil, right? Chinuch means, take a look here. I'm getting a little maybe out of order from my notes, but it's okay. In Bereishis, looks like Yud Dalet. That'd be cool if that were right. There we go. Okay. Parshas Lech Lecha. Vayishma Avram ki nishba achiv. Avram heard that his brother, meaning his relative, Lot, had been taken captive. Vayarekes chanichov yelidei veso. So he armed or he prepared the eschanichov, the people he was mechanech, yelidei veso, those born into his home, shmona asar ushlosh meos, 318 people, vayirdof adon, and they ran, they chased after this battle to find Lot until done. Okay, so what does Rashi say? Chanichov. Who's Chanichov? Okay, now we know that he had a lot of students. More than 318. Rambam says he had tens of thousands of students. Only in Or Kasdim. That's the Nefesh Asher Asu Becharan. Alright. Perhaps that's the difference. You know, I never thought of that. Because one of the mysteries is what happened to all of Avram's students. Now, granted, he had to leave them, but the fact that he was teaching Torah to tens of thousands of people, right? He was Melamed the men and Sarah the women.
When Yaakov came, they all went away.
When Yitzchak came along, yeah, I don't know when they went away. Yitzchak is not born yet here in Lech Lecha. I don't know. Okay, anyway. But perhaps it's because HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. Remember we said there's a difference between discipline and chinuch. And in chinuch is the where the person could stand on their own without the teacher anymore. And it doesn't say they were mechanech, that first batch of people. It says they made them. That's nice also. But if you make them, then they're not doing it on their own. So what's going to happen when you take the wick away? It could be. I don't think that's such a far out thing that I just said. It's a chiddush though, and I don't know if it's right. But it makes sense. Because over here, his students are described as chanichov. Maybe there's 318 of them, maybe there's one, right? Maybe it's Eliezer. Eliezer is also in the gematria, right? Like, okay. So what's chanichov? Chanichoksiv, it says only one that he was mechanech, and that's Eliezer, shechincho lemitzvos, that he educated him to mitzvos. Vehu, and this word chanichov is lashon, is based on the word lechanech, to educate. So now Rashi is going to define chinuch. this is the basic definition of chinuch. Lashon haschalas, the beginning of knisas ha'adam okeli, the beginning of the entering, like bringing in a person or a kli. Le'omnos shehu asid la'amod bo. You've heard this before. Anyone who went to Or Eliyahu has probably come across this Rashi a few times. Okay? Well, I mean, anyone else could come across Rashi too. So, hascholas would mean the initiation, right? The beginning of it. Knisas ha'adam also kind of means the beginning of it, right? Entering somebody, bringing them in, the person or the thing, the beginning of bringing the person or thing into the omnus, the expertise, the art, the skill set, shehu asid la'amod bo, which he is in the future going to be able to stand in. La'amod bo means you could hold your own in it. The beginning, starting someone off with the skills and tools that in the future they're going to require is called chinuch. V'chein chanoch lenar al pidarko gam ki yazkin lo yasrim. Okay, bring the whole thing here. Chanukas hamizbeach. What's chanukas hamizbeach? The dedication of it. It means you start using it. By the way, the chanukah or the chinuch of something is never the preparation of it. It's never the hachona. Hachona is also important. There's hachona and chinuch. And the hachana is the preparation. Preparation is really important. But the thing has not been mekudash to it. It's not dedicated to it until you start using it. You start doing it. When they start using the mizbeach, that's Chanukas HaMizbeach. And that's now how it's going to be used. You set it up, and now you initiated it and got it on the path of being what it's meant to be. As a grown-up mizbeach, right? Till now, you were building it, you were assembling it, you were planning it. Now it's a fully formed mizbeach, and it's ready to go, okay? With a person, of course, you don't do all the preparation, and he's not a human being. What is that? Punctual pupils become punctual people. What are we, like, not people now, right? What was that line? Yeah. It was such a good line, yeah. Right? Because now we're people. Human beings are people from the beginning. The thing is, in the future, there's things they're going to have to be able to do. The chinuch of them is the process of providing them and training them and making sure they have the tools and skills they will require as adults to do it on their own without someone else cooking for them. How will they provide food for themselves? How will they earn money for themselves? How will they be able to cope with emotional blows by themselves? You know, they had this terrible situation at Or Eliyahu this week. It's awful. And they have a staff member, a gym teacher, died in school. Very sudden, very unexpected, very dramatic. It's a terrible tragedy, okay? And such a nice person. And one of the kids was there. Right, went in to ask a question, the teacher's answering, and collapsed. It's a terrible thing. The chinuch was in the response. The support that the children were given was of the, I'm sharing this because it was such a remarkable thing, a remarkable amount of light in a very dark moment, right? You're worried about the kids, you're worried about the staff, you're worried about the family, you're worried about everybody. So much, right? But to be able to say, what do the children need in order to be able to healthily cope with such a huge shock, which is going to have all kinds of ramifications over time. You know, it's not going to be one day and you say the right thing. It's chinuch. It's not one day you say the right thing and you fixed it. There's no one thing you could say to the children that, like, now they'll be fine. And would you want that? If there were some medicine drop you could give them that would make it fine or make them forget that it happened, what will make them stronger and better equipped? We don't wish it happened. But once this is what Hashem was gozer, do we wish to prevent them from having to deal with it? Or do we wish to give them the strength to deal with it? Well, if we give them the strength to deal with it, they are now stronger people. And not only that, but Chas v'Shalom, there could be things that happen in their futures. That's a lot of people. Something difficult might happen down the line. We hope not, right? We never hope it will. Are we doing them a bigger kindness if we could provide them with tools with how to grapple with that from the inside? Whether they have the help from someone else or not? And what if Rabbi Goldberg isn't there that time to support them? Right? To give, that's chinuch. Chinuch is giving someone the tools they need to do it themselves. That is a much harder and deeper and more difficult thing to achieve, but that's what education is. That's what chinuch means. Okay. A tzaddik is katamar yifrach, right? You see that somehow development and growth of a person is flowering, ke'erez balvanon yiske, right? This is also described as trees, shesulim beveis Hashem, this whole pasuk. Planted in the house of Hashem, bechatos alokinu yafrihu, blossom and bloom. Okay. It's adam etza sodeh. So the Maharal, I think I indicated this, we didn't really talk about it, but we previously mentioned the Maharal says, what does it mean ha'adam etza sodeh? A person's like a tree. So what's with a tree? So I brought you a picture of a tree, in case you haven't seen any trees lately. But even the trees you've seen, no. You didn't see the whole tree. Why?
Underneath the ground.
Because half the tree, not half the tree, 48% of the tree maybe, let's say I made that number up, is underground. Even palm trees, as it turns out, have as much support underground as the trees, as the branches you see above.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like the same light.
See the picture?
So cool.
This is just a random online picture. Maybe it's not showing enough roots. Okay. Trees are as big underneath, where you in the hidden part that you can't see, as they are above. Maharal goes even further than that. Okay. That means, by the way, that there's a lot more to people than the part you can see.
Isn't there a thing about palm trees? Like, when a palm tree's standing up, you can't see the shadow. Once it falls down, you can see how long it is.
Like you can see how big it is.
A person, whenever they're alive, you can't see everything. So, once they die, you see how big it is.
Because I'll say that you don't usually compare tzaddikim to palm trees. That's interesting. The case where it happens is Devorah. With Devorah, the Shofetes, Yoshev es tachas tomer Devorah. And Chazal say, why did she sit under a tamar? Because the Talmidei Chachamim of her time were like Marim, that's silo katan. The shadow is small.
That was a not good thing, though.
Right. It's difficult to say, like, could they have done better? Maybe not. Maybe that's where they were holding. Maybe they could be very great, but because they're so high up, the shadow doesn't fall down. Could be, right? But the role, you need to have a gadol, right? Not the definition of a Talmud Chacham, not the definition of a tzaddik, but the definition of someone who is gadol is someone whose circle is big and includes a lot of people. It's the shadow is big. The influence touches a lot of people. Gedula is how big is your influence.
Shouldn't gedula be how gedula big means. Is, like, not your influence on other people. You, like, shouldn't it be, like, yourself?
Yeah, that's not what it means. Gedula corresponds, even when talking about midos of a kodesh baruch, gedula corresponds always to chesed. Gedula is a measure of how big is your
our
circle,
goal isn't,
how
isn't
big is your shadow.
To influence people. Isn't our goal to make ourselves somebody who's...
I'm saying doing.
When we're doing chesed, we're not doing it to influence the next person. Right?
Influence doesn't mean to change. I didn't mean influence as in to change their minds. Sorry, I didn't mean it like that. You influence people when you made a difference to them. You affected them. Influence means to affect. The greater a person is, the more people they affect. A gadol hador has that many people that he feels are within his sphere of influence, that he could affect them. He matters to them. What he says will make a difference to them.
Can someone be very great?
I didn't say, by the way, that's a goal in life. I just said that's the definition of gedula. I said it's not the definition of tzidkus, not the definition of chokhmah. Those are different definitions. And different people could achieve different things.
A little apartment is not a gedula. It's all just not
living in his little apartment and affect a lot of people.
No, because now I'm saying no one knows that. It doesn't mean he's not a gadol. Not anything bad. It's just he's not a gadol.
All right, a person could be a tzaddik nistar, and they could be supporting the whole world, but they might not be involved with other people so much. That seems to be what Chazal say about the great people of the time of Devorah, and that's why she had to step in. People still needed someone down on the ground to go to with questions and issues and problems, and for some reason, whoever was leading at that time, they weren't leading. They were very great, but they weren't leading. Okay. It's not a compliment to them. I don't know if it's a criticism. It's a statement of fact. I don't know that it's a criticism of them. Maybe they didn't have the capacity for that. I don't know. Okay. Maharal says, no, I'm serious. I don't know. Maharal says, though, about a tree. What is it? Ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh. So a tree, the nourishment of the tree comes from below. It takes its nourishment. It has its trunk in the middle, which is the main sort of channel of bringing the nourishment to the rest. And then it branches into branches that are nourished by what it pulled from below. Okay. With a human being, a person is like a tree, but a person is like this. A person, doesn't receive his nourishment from below. A person receives his nourishment from above. It's absolutely, Maharal says it. It's part of the introduction on Or Chadash, on Megillah Esther. Sorry? Stanislavski
was just telling us about, she was also talking about like the home, like most like houses are built like the foundation on the bottom, but in a Jewish home, you take foundation like from the top.
Okay. So he says you get your nourishment from above, comes through the single part of the body of the person and branches out. Right? And we're talking about the physical body. It branches out, your arms, your legs, right? The branching out comes in the opposite direction. So a person's like a tree, you just have to look at it from the other direction. The nourishment flow, it works in the other direction because it's not physical nourishment that's creating the person and nourishing them, really. It's spiritual. It's not the lechem that the person lives. It's on the word of Hashem that the person lives. So that's coming from another direction. Okay. So the way that a person is nourished and flourishes is like a tree. You could use a tree for the image. I'm just looking for where it was. We definitely just saw it together last week. I'm not going to look for it now. I don't remember exactly. I looked at so many of her sources that I can't easily remember now which place I saw what. He talks about the importance, especially of the husband, but of the couple in building their home, as in gathering into themselves blessing. Meaning, Parnassa, you need to build a home and like furnish it and put stuff in it. Sorry? No. No, he actually is talking about taking in physical blessing and making the effort to make the physical environment in which they'll flourish. And at first, my response, where in the world? It was so confusing, because why are we suddenly moving to taiva as like the basis of building a home? It seems backwards. This is where I saw it. I didn't bring it in for you. This is about the mitzvah to a man to set up a home and get married and have children. Okay. In order that you may perform this duty of building a home, as Hashem commands, and feed, educate, and prepare for active life, is a new definition for chinuch, prepare for active life. The children who have been granted to you, God says, turn the earth into a dwelling place for man. You're going to take a piece of the earth and make it a home for people. We talked a little bit already about what a home means. You're going to, the earth was created, lo latohu bara'a lo sheves yitzara. Hashem created the earth for people to live in. Okay, you have to have a high definition of what it means to live. Because to live means to take that which is physical and turn it into something that is spiritual. That's a high definition. So you have to turn the earth into a dwelling place for man. That's also on a small scale. You got to make a home in which human beings and Jewish human beings are going to grow and become active Jewish adults in the world. Children of Hashem out there working. That's going to happen from this place. So form a circle around yourself and draw into this circle the largest possible quantity of God's creatures and gifts in order that you and yours may be able to flourish in it. The circle is the home, and the quantity of God's gifts taken into it is property. Now I read that and I feel uncomfortable. Like, really? It's so important to bring in stuff? Like, to have... Now, the truth is, we could feel that way especially easily because we live in a very wealthy society. And even in LA, where even there are people who really are struggling to put a roof over their head and have food to eat, are often more well-to-do than what we would have called the normal people 100 years ago. Like, it really is a very wealthy society. So it's easy to say, well, you could manage without all that, the main thing. It's easy to say if you've never been hungry, right? If you've never had clothes to put on, you know, this store, the person who, you know, has one pair of shoes for three kids and has to choose who could go to school. Yeah, it's really easy to say, well, why do you need to have always new shoes? Well, maybe in order to function in the world, there's certain baseline of physical goods you need. But I feel uncomfortable because that sounds like taiva. Isn't that how we define taiva? It's you take to have the circle and you're trying to suck stuff into it. Like, what's with that? Observe, my good young man. He's talking to men. So we're eavesdropping over here. There's other places where he talks to the good young women, but here he's talking to the good young man. Your only purpose, because the role of the woman is not to bring what's into the circle. The role of the woman is to use what's in the circle. That's different. To transform it into what, because in the home is where things achieve and have the potential realized into action. So even that which the husband brings into it, it's really the wife's job to turn it into what it could be. Even children. Okay. Your only purpose in trying to acquire property, as well as to make yourself the center of a circle belonging to you, should be to join to yourself within this circle a wife, and in union with her to work for the advancement of your people and of humanity, to found a home into every room of which God may enter, Asuli Mikdosh V'Shachanti B'Sochem, where his word will be observed, a younger generation will be trained up, and from which blessing and welfare shall issue forth to all its surroundings. That's the opposite, right? Wasn't that the Ava? Remember the Ava and the Taiva? So now I'm confused. Even if he clarified to me that there could be a beautiful, uplifting purpose to gathering in, now we suddenly switched and we're putting out. I think the answer is we got... Not I think the answer is. The answer is we have to look out back to this idea of the tree. What's it doing? It's taking in blessing. It's taking in nourishment. It sucks it up, draws it into itself, and then gives it out and spreads out. It's not defining taiva. Remember when we said Ahava was seeking to see yourself in the middle of a circle that is dispensing blessing to as many as possible? We never addressed how you got it in there. Where did that blessing come from? The answer is our roots going up to the spiritual are drawing down bracha, which is going to appear physical down and from there to dispense blessing outward. Okay, but we're going to look at it more. So.
Something those people were like, well, I want to become a millionaire, so I can give a lot to that.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
Why do you have to try to get
it? You would know that if you weren't expecting to keep any of it. I know people like that. Rabbi Roseman. If he earned $1 million, how much would stay in the house? Nothing. Negative something. He'd still be giving beyond that. Do you know what I mean? There are people...
But he doesn't go and try to... I mean, I don't know. Like,
try and collect physical... Right, he spent from morning till late at night trying... This is a mechutan of ours. He came here. He has a yeshiva. They take people off the streets and turn them into B'nai Torah. Went from 9 students to 120 students, and it's for real. He came to collect money for the yeshiva. He's sporting it himself, but like there's a limit, 120 students, and you have to, he's got like 200 avreichim learning there, so that they could, that gap, you know, it's a lot. Okay, so he had to come and seek material blessing and draw it into himself in order to provide it. I don't think anyone could even conceive of a penny of that. Forget about going to his family. He's still going to be giving from his own other assets to make that happen, an effort. None of it is for him. It's all to give. But you have to bring it in from somewhere. That's something about the nature of the world, of our job in this phase of our lives, when we're on the earth, which is to draw in that which is physical and turn it into something that is ruchnis. I confess it was uncomfortable when I first read that. It seems odd, but it's worth spending time to think about, because you do need to draw in to provide for children, and it's not only to provide for them. If you're doing it as taiva, then it's that you want it yourself and you want it for your kids too. But if everything about being a parent is about providing them with what they will require to go out and do, then the things that I'm seeking to provide them with are only to give. It's not like, oh, I always wanted to have toys like that when I was a kid, so I'm going to get toys like that for my children. Then it's taiva, even though I'm giving it to the kid, right? But if it's that I'm going to train my child to be able to share in a beautiful way or something, or books that they'll use to learn, to whatever, and then they'll be like this kind of adult that benefits the world in a whole different level, I'm not trying to take, I'm trying to give. And I have to have the means to do that with. I want to show you some examples of this, though, in the collected writings and in the... I printed this out, but I'm not seeing... It's in Bereishis. Okay, sorry. On the sixth day, Hashem created humans. Created other things too, right? Animals. Yeah. We also created people. And at the very end of all of this, Hashem said, "Hinei nosati lochem es kol esav zoria zera asher al pnei kol haaretz ves kol haetz asher bo priyerek zoria zara lochem yeh le'ochla." Do you hear this? This is really a description of what it means to take in the physical and then turn it into something spiritual. This is what Hashem's telling us. I created all this, human person. Here's, it's for you to use. Doesn't mean it's for you to squander. You got to use it. Okay, ulchol chayas haaretz, ulchol haof hashamayim, ulchol romesal haaretz, asher bo nefesh chaya, es kol yerek esev le'achla, vayhi chayim. Vayar elokim, es kol asher osa, vehinei tov me'od. That's new. Everything till now was tov. Now it's tov me'od. Vayhi erev, vayhi voker, yom hashishi. And then go into the next section. Vayhu l'shamayim v'aretz, it's the new thing, it's the Shabbos. Okay, Vayar Elokim. I'm using a different volume. That's so annoying. Okay, I had it marked up and everything. I don't know what I did with it. We already know the saying Vayar Elokim Kitov. We've seen that before in Bereishis, which we have encountered at every phase of the creation. Do you remember the Ramban? Tov, when Vayar Elokim Kitov is that Hashem sees that the thing is already in the state of Tov that it was created to become. Right? But not everything got there right away. We have already recognized how the fact that this saying always occurs after the completion of a creation is to bring home to us the completely free power of the Creator over His creation. Okay. Here too, we wouldn't find anything striking if at the final phase of creation it said, Vayar Elokim ki tov. We'd be like, yeah, okay, that's another phase of Bereishis, like the other ones. But here it says, Vehine. And Hine always introduces us to something we haven't seen yet. Behold, right? Look. It means like, look, hey, wow. It means there's something you haven't seen before. I'm calling your attention to that. That's what Vehine is. Lo. So that here, this says lo. So that here, apart from what this saying has hitherto conveyed to us, there must be in addition a new thought that's going to be brought. So now, it's not going to be Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, it's Vehine, it's going to be something different. And that new different thing is Tov Me'od. Okay, now I'm going to move down. If Hine leads the trend of our thoughts to a new idea, and if Me'od is added to this new conception of Tov, that we have hitherto been taught to consider only as Tov, good, then Tov Me'od, we call that like very good, but what's Bechol Me'od Decha? It could mean either your physical means, like your money, right? That's Rashi, yeah? Or your effort. Yeah, or, well, no, the midos that he's given you actually means like how you frame it. It means your effort. So me'od means either your, like the strength that Hashem has given you, that could be talents, I guess, physically, or the physical goods that He has given you, that you also have to love Hashem with. Okay. Very good. That's like that. Then there must be something indicated which is the motive for the new nuance of judgment. And that's the word kol. Es kol asher asa vehine tov me'od. So first of all, me'od means there's effort in it. It's more so. It's tov me'od. It's very good. What's the very? The very means that there was effort. There's something physical that's being put in, and it's effort. No. No. Chazal, you know what Chazal say about here. We'll try and get to it. The only thing is now the bell ring. So, somehow it's characterized by kol, but not effort of Hashem. I don't want to let that go on. Okay, so every single creation is good. But only now, when the full series of creations is closed, this is now there's no more Bereishis. Everything else now is coming out, is springing out, unfolding out from that which was created in Bereishis. This is the end of that. When the series of creations is closed, and each single one can now be considered in relation to the whole, because until now each thing is created, but there isn't a whole yet, it's not done. So you're just seeing each thing independently. Vayelokim, ki tov. Each thing could be seen separately. But now, each single one can be considered in relation to the whole, to everything, to kol. Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa. Now there's the ability to look at the context of the whole thing. It's not only tov, it's tov me'od. It's not just good, it's good that was achieved with effort. Kol is not only the conception of all, that everything's included, nothing's left out. Kol means you have united together things that are different. If they were all the same, they wouldn't say that's a kol. Kol means you have things that are different and you have brought them together into a whole. Kol is gematria 50. That whole 50 process from Pesach to Shavuos is a kol. I'm not kidding. And it's vayihi arba yevoker yom hashishi. That's Shavuos. Okay? Kol is where everything, the physical and the spiritual, are all now considered together and unified into a oneness. Kol is brings in the physical. That's the me'od. That's the bechol levavcha, b'shnei yitzrecha. And that's, in fact, what Chazal say. Okay, we can't do it because it's so late, and I know you have to go. And Mirat Hashem, next time we'll pick up over here on this Rav Hirsch. It's fundamental Rav Hirsch here about kol and tov me'od. And this comes with the creation of man as the final. That's Makkah B'Patish. Now you could have the kol. And it's Bechira, it's all of it, you see. It's what Chazal say, it's a Chazal. It's new to us, and yet somehow it's old. Like the best of everything. Okay, so Mirat Hashem will continue with this, and we'll bring this back into the Chinuch and the home. But that's where we're going, okay? Shabbos.
Thank you so much.